I know of a man who was educated by the very best. He became a prolific writer and speaker. He was a greatly respected teacher and a highly esteemed scholar and theologian. This man of the soaring intellect had the gift of tongues. His name, of course, is Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he greatly valued this spiritual gift. But I realise it might cause you to cringe whenever you hear it mentioned. Perhaps you picture verbal mayhem or frothing at the mouth, maybe trances. The family's pastor in my previous church once did a kid's spot where she handed around a paper bag asking for volunteers to put their hand inside to guess what was there. After a few attempts, we found out it was a tongue from the butcher. Gross. But it was a very effective introduction to talking about the power of the tongue to either build people up or to tear them down. The thought of touching a tongue in a bag like that gives me the creeps. Yet tongues is the name of the spiritual gift we're focusing on today. In great contrast to the negative connotations around its name, this is actually a very beautiful gift. So much so that I'm going to refer to it from here on as spiritual language, which indeed it is, a language of and from the Holy Spirit. Now, in today's reading, you might have thought you just heard Paul criticizing the spiritual gift of tongues or writing this gift off altogether and asking us to focus on the gift of prophecy instead. Well, prophecy is certainly at the top of Paul's gift list, as we read in chapter 14, verse 1. But in this passage, along with all of chapter 14, Paul is not suggesting we throw this baby, tongues, out with the bathwater. Instead, Paul's addressing the way the people of Corinth have been using the gift. He's not at all opposed to this gift, as long as it's used properly. In fact, he wants everyone to have a spiritual language. The problem is that the Corinthians have been kind of off track in their use of it when meeting together. Paul wants them to understand that God intends this beautiful gift to be used in a life-giving rather than a chaotic way. But let's go back a step. What is it actually, this spiritual gift of tongues? Mark mentions it back in chapter 16 of his gospel as being one of the signs that will accompany those who believe in Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. Luke, in Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, tells us that all present were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit enabled them at this first moment of God giving his church this gift. So this gift is an outworking of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we also find through the New Testament that not every person who's baptized in the Spirit has this gift. According to 1 Corinthians 12:30, you can be filled or baptized with the Spirit and not speak in a spiritual language. And before you think, phew, great, I can just switch off and ignore this gift because I don't like the sound of it, let's consider what Paul has to say at the beginning of today's chapter. He says we are to eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, meaning we are to value this gift along with the others, and permission is clearly being given in that verse to ask God for it. As Rod has explained earlier in this series, that the gifts are for us today, why would we want to take Paul's advice to eagerly desire this one? This spiritual gift is the ability to speak in a God-given language, a language not known to the believer who receives it. It's not a mark of a person being super spiritual, nor does it mark someone out as being special. We're all very special to God to start with. Paul lists this gift along with that of interpreting tongues in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. Then at the start of chapter 13, he tells us that it may be either an angelic or a human language. This gift, more than any other, might give us a sense that something weird and very wacky is supposed to take place when it's used. Well, the experience of using tongues is about as natural and as normal as me speaking to you right now. But like any other form of prayer, like even when you give thanks for your food in English before starting dinner and the Spirit starts moving on your heart, even that, like using a spiritual language, may lead us into an encounter with the living God. In checking this gift out, we want to stick closely with what Scripture has to say about it. I've made notes available on this sermon which look at the manifestation of tongues written about by Luke in Acts 2, Acts 10 and Acts 19. And then Paul writes on it also throughout 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14 with this big focus on its correct use here in chapter 14. Paul also gives us further insight in Romans chapter 8 verses 26 to 27. He writes, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." So spiritual language is first and foremost prayer, a form of intercession. It's prayer taking place between the Holy Spirit and a person's own spirit. In this spirit-to-spirit conversation, we're in a direct line of communication with God, the Holy Spirit. It's about handing your prayer life over to God and letting him determine what you pray for. Paul writes in verse 2 that anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God, uttering mysteries by the Spirit. Well, if you're a person who likes to understand everything you hear, you're not going to like that mysteries bit, but here it is in the book. All of us were born with our soul wanting to control our own spirit. Our spirit being the part of us that comes alive when we get saved. The soul, that is the mind, the will, and the emotions, likes to call the shots of our responses, our thoughts, and our actions from within us. The soul wants to reign and rule over us and over our lives. It needs full regeneration, which begins to happen when we give our life to Jesus. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, the soul quietens down and a person's own spirit gains control, which in turn renews your mind and brings your life more and more into alignment with God's perfect plan for you. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, "Pray continually, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." For Paul, a big part of praying continually was surely his private life of prayer through the gift of tongues. As he writes in today's passage, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you." While you might picture a supernatural gift being something that's perhaps wild and out of control, think instead of breaking that word supernatural down to mean a deeper experience of something that's very natural. This means we have a gift which leaves the speaker fully in charge of when to start speaking and when to stop speaking. The tongue, the mouth, and the vocal cords are used when the believer decides to use them, just as I'm deciding to talk to you now. But it's with spiritual language. The Spirit provides a previously unknown language and an experience of more of God's heart. We find in chapter 14 there are two ways this gift is to be used. The first is the private use of the gift, and the second is its public use. In verse 4 of today's passage, Paul writes, "Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves." Well, there's our starting point for looking at spiritual language as a private gift. How do you edify or build yourself up? Jude verse 20 tells us that we're to build ourselves up in our most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. So if you get down, if you feel your faith wobbling, if you feel distant from God, he's given you a way to build yourself back up again. And in fact, this gift can keep you from landing in such a place to start with. You can use it aloud or silently. You might look around at today's big name heroes of the faith online, and you might listen to their podcasts and wonder, hey, how do they stay in that place of fire and strength and power in the Lord? Well, many of them spend big chunks of time privately praying in the Spirit. And you might feel you don't have time for that, but I can promise that if you were to truly taste the goodness and power of God through this gift, you'd make time. It would become such a priority in your life because it's like a hotline to God's throne. It's an amazing blessing during suffering. It's powerful for endurance and warfare, and it lets you run the marathon of a life following Jesus instead of sprinting and collapsing. Apart from building up believers, it's also used for praise and for worshiping God. I remember about a year and a half after I got saved, God rescued me from a terrible situation. And as I came to terms with the extent of what he'd done, a deep and vast desire and a need to thank him started rising up within me over a period of a few weeks. I would thank him in prayer, but I was increasingly left with a sense that I didn't have anywhere near enough words to express what I was feeling. And the words of thanks simply had to get out of me to God. So in growing frustration, I realized God did have a language of thanks for me that far surpassed English. I needed to ask him for a spiritual language. So with this desire to praise him and knowing Paul wished every believer had this gift, I spent time making sure firstly that I was right with God through repentance. Then I asked for an increased filling of the Holy Spirit. I handed over my tongue, my mouth and my vocal cords to God. I asked for the gift of tongues and I started to speak out whatever seemed to come to me. Did I wonder if it was fake? Sure. Like everything in our walk with the Lord, there's a big element of trust in this too. But as it says in Luke 11, where Jesus is teaching on prayer, encouraging us to ask, seek and knock, God our Father will not give us the equivalent of a snake or a scorpion when we ask him for a gift. So I simply kept asking God over time to purify the gift and make it true so that it really would bring him the praise I longed to bring him. That's not a prayer that God's going to refuse. I believe he'll respond and give this gift if we pray it sincerely from the heart. So stepping out to ask for this gift and then using it involves trusting God. It's a leap of faith. And to trust him, you need to know him. Who is the giver of the spiritual gifts? Will he mess with you? Will he trick you? Is that his nature? Or does he have the best in mind for you in all things? In Acts 2, we see that the initial operation of this gift was indeed for the purpose of praising God, for magnifying him. In Acts 10, the gift was again used for praising God. In the same way we worship and adore God through song and prayer, so spiritual language has its place in doing just that. Today's passage refers to singing with our own spirit, which is singing in our spiritual language. Well, this is not complicated. It's just a sung version of the spoken gift, often bringing about beautiful harmonies. Spiritual language, as it enables the prayer to hear from God, may cross over into other gifts, releasing perhaps words of prophecy or words of knowledge or wisdom that Rod spoke of last week. And it may lead to an experience of deep Holy Spirit ministry in a believer's heart. It has a tremendously valuable place in the area of praying for emotional healing, where using our tongue, the Holy Spirit, who's the comforter, brings that comfort in a wonderful and direct way. This gift helps greatly with hearing from the Lord in general, and for Rod, that's a key aspect of the way he uses it. It's also wonderful for praying for the sick, for deliverance, for all types of intercession. And let's not forget also that tongues is the best form of emergency prayer any believer could ever wish for. About 12 years ago, I was in a pharmacy paying for something. My son Tom was with me. Behind me out in the street, I heard a terrible collision. By the time I turned around, a male cyclist was lying in the middle of the road. Tom had seen the accident happen and told me the cyclist had been hit by a car that was now nowhere in sight. I ended up being the first on the scene. I asked Tom to stop the traffic and to get the first person he saw to go into the GP clinic that we happened to be right beside to get help. Ah, so far you're thinking my first aid is all going to plan. But let me tell you, my Dr. ABCD has a T at the beginning of it. T for tongues. I quickly got to the man, who fortunately landed in a reasonable recovery position. I put a hand on his shoulder and I started praying in my spiritual language in a fairly intense way for his healing. There was no blood, he was breathing. Knowing he'd been hit by a car, I expected breakages, so my aim was to keep him completely still until a GP arrived. Before long, as I prayed, very relieved that I had this dynamic language which felt to be connecting me so directly with God, my patient started to lift his head off the road. "No," I said, "you need to lie down until help comes," and I gently pushed him down again. Then he raised himself up further. Alternating between tongues and English, I said to him, "You must lie down." And then this up and down pattern between him and me kept repeating itself. The irony was that I was calling out for his healing, asking for God's supernatural intervention, but also insisting that he not move so that his injuries didn't get worse. Well, before long, a GP arrived and took over, much to my relief. With me out of the way, the man slowly raised himself up with the GP's help, and to my amazement, he began to walk into the surgery. I was thanked, questioned a bit, and dismissed, and went home shaking. As Tom and I drove off, it was only then that Tom had a chance to tell me the full extent of the situation. He'd seen the cyclist hurled high in the air by the car, ceiling height, he described it as. And then Tom saw his violent fall from that height onto the bitumen. Yet we both saw that man get up and walk away, barely limping. The following day, I went into the surgery and asked after him. The man had been taken to hospital for checking and was found to be completely injury-free. No broken bones. How was that possible after a double impact situation and a fall from such a height? Well, I won't know till I meet Jesus face to face what actually happened there, but I believe I saw God do a healing miracle through his gift of tongues. Looking at its public use today, which most of today's passage is referring to, Paul tells us that there must always be an interpretation. This may be provided by the prayer or by someone else, and it's given so that the body of Christ may be built up. Also, if someone new to the faith is present, they'll understand what's going on. Verses 5 and 13 mention this gift of interpretation and the need for it to be used in the public setting. Interpretation is, simply put, asking the Lord for revelation and insight to what's been prayed when using a spiritual gift. It's for this purpose that Paul tells us to pray and sing with our understanding, so that tongues bears fruit in the public setting. He's asking us to engage our mind with what's being prayed. It's a matter of asking the Lord what he's doing or saying while you pray in your spiritual language. That becomes the interpretation. The gift of tongues is certainly well known at Oak Tree, but mainly in the area of private use, and that's what we're focusing on today. Above all, Paul wants us to anchor this gift in love. Verse 1, he says, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts." And he begins the previous chapter, which totally focuses on the critical importance of love when using the gifts, with these words. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." The reason it's so important is that this, along with all the gifts, are to be used for the building up of God's people. So how do we receive this gift? Firstly, pray that you'll be filled with the Spirit. Come away from any engagement you have with the kingdom of darkness and think through your motives. This gift is not a thing of fascination. It's a powerful prayer tool. Let love and adoration of God be at the forefront of your seeking. Then while praying or worshipping, with your focus on Jesus, ask for the gift. We ask in faith, knowing that God said through Paul we should eagerly desire a spiritual language, and then we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You need to open your mouth and start speaking, trusting that God will turn your utterances into the language he has for you. Like a baby learning English, you might only have a few words to start with, and God might need to adjust these over time. But if you keep exercising this gift, a full language will come to you. Or you might find a full language emerges at the outset. God knows you, and therefore knows the best way to release you into this. Jackie Pullinger has been a missionary to the vice-laden, highly dangerous walled city of Hong Kong for decades. She, like others who seek to live in the power and presence of God, finds the gift of tongues is absolutely essential. From her autobiography, Chasing the Dragon, she writes of her work among Hong Kong's heroin addicts in this way. We called a Christian doctor and asked what to expect from a 10-year addict with a $100 a day habit who suddenly stops injecting. The doctor said that without medication, Arkai would suffer agonies, chills, fever, vomiting, diarrhea, and intense stomach cramps. He might roll on the floor with pain and become violent to the point of attacking his helpers. The doctor did not advise it. Jackie decided not to use any medication, but instead to try praying in tongues throughout Arkay's withdrawal process. She writes, "I spent the first three sleepless nights sitting with Arkay and praying for him. I expected all the terrible side effects forecast, but he slept like a baby. At the end of 3 days, I looked haggard and he looked wonderful. If when he did wake, he experienced any twinge of pain, we quickly urged him to pray in tongues himself, and the pain miraculously disappeared. We knew then, without a shadow of doubt, that praying in the Spirit was the answer for painless withdrawal from heroin. That was the turning point for Jackie's ministry. God had opened the doors for spiritual language to end what seemed to be unbreakable addictions, something he's done through her in Hong Kong hundreds of times since that day. The Most Reverend Justin Welby, Archbishop of Canterbury, who prays in his spiritual language every morning, describes this gift as a priceless expression of the presence of the Holy Spirit. I seek to present to you a gift from the Father, which is extra natural, not super spiritual, and one of the greatest blessings I've come across to connect with his heart. It's very available because Paul says to eagerly desire it. Some of you may have had this gift but have forgotten about it. Can I urge you today to resume exercising it? You're missing out. Some of you may be using it regularly, but God has more for you. There's power in this gift to put the inbreaking of the kingdom in your fingertips for transformation in your life and for others. I urge you to get hungry for this gift. Ask God for it, and then ask God for more of it. He gives the Spirit without limit. Let's pray. Father God, we want to pursue a life of communication with you. Thank you for this beautiful, powerful gift of spiritual language. Thank you that it's so available. Lord, make us hungry for this gift right now in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. We want to develop prayer lives of deeper adoration, deeper thanksgiving, of deeper connection between our spirit and the Holy Spirit. I pray for those who've received this gift in the past but have lost sight of its goodness and have put it aside at some point. Lord, forgive us for not valuing this precious gift. And I ask for those people that you would fan that gift into flames once again. Holy Spirit, would you breathe on that gift and give it a fresh start in their lives? Reactivate it, I pray, for those people so that they live from a deeper place in your heart. And Holy Spirit, would you anoint each person with this gift to discover new depths of your glory through it, for greater intimacy, for powerful intercession, and for a life of worship as it rolls off our tongues, either spoken or sung. Make us a whole lot hungrier, Holy Spirit, until we become fluent in your language of love. And finally, I pray for anyone who wants to take a step towards asking you for this gift, that you take those people on a beautiful journey to receive it, a journey of repentance, of coming away from involvement with darkness, of Holy Spirit baptism, and of trusting you as they ask for the gift and step into it. Jesus, have your way in your church. Thank you for this gift of love and your desire that in all things we would be built up as your precious bride. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.